It's good to see everybody here today, and I think you can probably still hear it in my voice a little bit. Just to thank you for the prayers that we had last week. Whenever I wasn't here, I was really sick on Saturday. I don't think I made it off the couch. And then the next day, I got up in the morning, and Noni heard me speak, and she goes, "I don't think you need to go to church today." So I don't often listen to my wife sometimes, but I did that time, and I'm kind of glad she did because I just was very sheepish, to coin a word there, last weekend. So it was kind of nice just to be able to stay at home and rest and, again, kind of make sure the couch didn't fly up or anything. I was holding that down for most of the day. So it was just kind of nice to do that. But, again, thank you for the prayers, and as Pastor Rich has mentioned, please be in prayer for those others that are sick. I know Ed texted me yesterday. I know one of his boys was not doing well the other night, and they're not here today. So, again, we do covet your prayers for those who are sick and not feeling well. So, please be in prayer for all that. Whenever Pastor Rich asked me to speak today, he said one of the things that the Lord had laid on his heart was community. And he asked that if I would come up to speak today, if that would be the topic that I would do it on. And while it may not necessarily was laid on my heart at that time, it's been laid on my heart since we've opened this church up when it comes to community and how important you guys are and how important our community is around us. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. I won't be in just one passage of scripture today. I'm going to be hopping around to a bunch of different places, and I may be doing it so fast that you may not be able to turn there. So if that's the case, please, by all means, you can write down the scripture and go back to it later. Or if you're fast enough to keep up with me, then great. Then we can do that too, and we can kind of make it into a little game, I guess. You know, can you keep up with Scott as he goes through the scripture? But again, we're going to be talking about community. And when you look in your Bibles, if depending on what Bible you have, I do my studies out of the New King James Version, but if you're in that book or in that particular book from that you can choose from, or the King James Version, or even the English Standard Version, you'll never see the word community in your Bible, okay? It's never in there. But again, it doesn't mean that it's not in the Bible. It just means that you have to look for it. Because when you really think about it, if you also would know that Trinity is not in your Bible either. You won't see that anywhere, but we can see that plainly seen in the Bible when we read it and when we look at the Scripture. So even though it's not there, it doesn't mean that it isn't there, and that's what we're going to be looking at today. But when it comes to community, I think a lot of times when we think about that word, we may not necessarily be able to give a definition to it, but I think we can understand what it is because of where we live and what we do and the people that live around us and stuff like that. And I think a lot of times when it comes to community, we look at it more as a geographical location on a map, right? So we're in Ellicott, so that's a community, you know, and down the road over here is Peyton, and then back over here near Kansas is Rush, you know, and stuff like that, right? So at least it felt like it when I drove over there the other day. So we have all these different places, and we call them the community, but we assign them that because it's a geographical location on a map. But what we're going to be talking about is something that's way more intimate than just a geographical location. We're going to be talking about community and fellowship within the body of Christ, and that's what we want to look at today. So I think you can understand what community is, and I think you can understand that if that was taken away from you, what the repercussions would be or what that would mean if it's taken away. And I have a very good example of that because my wife, Noni, I took her community away one time whenever we were in the service. Actually, I've probably done it a couple, three times when we were in the service. So just a really short story about us. So I was active duty Air Force at the time. My first duty station was at Charleston, South Carolina. We got orders to Ramstein, Germany. So we pack up the kids, 2 and 4 years old at that time, and we go to Germany. And when we get there, we go into this place that's called TLF, and it's a transit lodging facility. So we go in there, and you stay there for a little while until you get, you know, either housing on base or you move off base. So I would say that we decided, but I think more I decided that we would move off base. So what happened was, is we moved out of that TLF facility. Again, our boys are 2 and 4 years old. And then Ramstein Air Base sits here. And then right next to Ramstein, obviously, is the village it's named after, which is Ramstein. And then the next village down the road was a village called Steinwinden. And that's where we lived at when we first got there. We lived in Steinwinden in this little hole-in-the-wall apartment or whatever you want to call it. I don't even know if it was 900 square foot that we were living in, which wasn't a big deal. The boys were small, so we have a small footprint there. But I take Noni and I drop her in the middle of this. This is like you flying to a foreign country. They blindfold you, take you out in the middle of nowhere, put you in a village, and then drive off from you. And there you are. And you don't know how to speak the language, and you don't know the people around you, and you don't know anything. You have no support system whatsoever, and that's what I dropped Noni into, okay? Now, it was easier for me because my community was back at the base, right? Because when I would go to work, I was around all these guys and gals and stuff like that I worked with on the flight line. But poor Noni is stuck out here 5 or 6 or 7 miles away, and she doesn't have anybody. She has no community. She has no support group. We knew that there were Americans living in the village, but we had no idea where they lived at, you know. So there's Noni, and Noni doesn't know how to speak German, okay? So she doesn't know the language. She doesn't know the people. She's got 2 boys, 2 and 4 years old, and she's stuck in a 900 square foot or so house by herself most of the time. Because I want to say when I first got to Germany, we always were working 12-hour shifts. So, and I want to say when I first got there, I was working 12-hour shifts at night. So I would go to work at night, I would come home, and then I would sleep most of the day, and then I would spend at the most maybe 2, 3 hours, 4 hours at the most with her before I went back to work and I did another 12-hour shift. So Noni really didn't have anybody. She had no community whatsoever. And at that time, you know, we were still even looking for a church, so we didn't even have a church family that she could rely on. So you can kind of understand, you know, it's one thing to understand what community it is, but it's another thing when that community's taken away, because the community can be a huge support group to you when you're in the midst of it. But I had poor Noni stuck in Germany, and she had nothing. Now, the thing is, though, is, you know, of course that transpires, and we ended up staying 7 years in Germany. So you can see that things worked out pretty good in the end. And if you talk to her about it, I'm sure she would tell you she wasn't too happy. Matter of fact, I don't know how she didn't get on a plane the next day and go home with our 2 boys, but she did stick it out, and we ended up having a good assignment in Germany. But it's one thing to have it, but it's another thing to take it away. So when it comes to community, what I want to do is I want to give you a definition, okay? We're going to look at what Webster has to say as far as what community means, what the definition is for community. But then what I want to do is I want to take that definition that we're going to get from Webster, and I want to kind of tweak that, and I want to change it from community to Christian community. I don't want it just to say something that's plain as what Webster would say. I want to kind of tailor it and craft it so that we can see what it means as a Christian community, not just a community. So when it comes to the definition that we get from Webster, from the dictionary, community defined, and there was, you know, 5 or 6 definitions in there, and this is the one that I picked out of that group. It's a group of people with a common characteristic or interest living together within a larger society. Okay? So now I want to do is I want to kind of deconstruct that, and I want to change some of those different things out. Now, I'm going to let you guys get in on this a little bit, so I'm going to ask questions that I want you to answer. So it's not a rhetorical question. You don't have to stand there and just look at me. I want you to answer the questions whenever I ask it. And I got a couple of them dealing with this definition. So it says a group of people with a common characteristic. So if we're going to change this definition to our Christian community, what is a common characteristic that we have as a Christian community? Okay. A lot of people said that, okay? And I'm deaf because I worked around planes for a really long time. So you're really going to have to yell it out. So what's one? I heard somebody say Jesus, and we're going to come to him, but he's not necessarily characteristic that I'm looking for right here. Unity would be one. Morality would be good. faith would be good. Okay, you're not hitting the word I'm looking for. Who said it?
Love.
Exactly. That's everything you said is true. They are characteristics of a Christian community. I'm not trying to say it isn't, but I think we can sum all those words up into that one thing, which is love, right? So, in our definition for a Christian community, a group of people with a common characteristic, love, and then it says common interest. Now, I want to phrase the question a little bit different, not what the interest is, but who the interest is. And that's the no-brainer, which is who? Jesus Christ. So we have a group of people that have a common characteristic, love, and then a common interest, which is Jesus Christ, living together within a larger society. Okay? Well, when I come home after work, I don't think I see you guys at my house. Okay? And I don't think you see me at your house when you come home from work. So I don't think you live with me. Okay? But yes, yet the definition is talking about here is that we're living together. And when it comes to living together, we're not necessarily talking about the physicality or the physical notion of that, because I don't see any of you guys in my basement either. But there's plenty of places to hide down there. I don't see you guys at my house, and I don't think that's what we're talking about here. That's not what we're looking at here when we're talking about, you know, living together. We're actually looking at being one, and what is it that we become one or part of in the Christian community, and that's going to be Jesus Christ. So a few different places that I want to look at in Scripture to kind of bring this in clearer is in Romans 12:5. It's a very short verse. Romans 12:5, and it states, so we, being many, right? There are many of us in here today, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Now, at the end of that, we don't like too much sometimes, but we are individuals, but members of one another. Excuse me. The next part of Scripture I want to look at is Ephesians 2:17-19. Ephesians 2:17-19. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. So it's not just the people that were in the immediate area. It was to a larger area. It was to a larger community. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So while we don't live together necessarily, but we do come together as one when it comes to Jesus Christ. He is our anchor. He is our center point. He is who we rotate and gravitate around and are part of. So when we don't live together, but we are one. We are one community under Jesus Christ. So that's where we come together. And then if we're one in Jesus Christ, that means something a little bit different. And I'll read this thought because it's going to be easier for me to read it than it is to paraphrase what I had to say. But when I was writing this out the other night, it's if we are one in Jesus, like we have just read in these two passages, if we are one in Jesus Christ, that means that who we were in the world was left at the cross. And our identity is now through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So think about that. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you checked your identity at the cross. You're no longer who your name says you are. You are now a brother. You are now a sister. You are now a son. You're now a daughter of Jesus Christ. We check that at the door, but that's hard for us to do. That's hard for us to check that at the door, right? It's hard for us to check that at the cross because we so often want to carry that type of stuff with us because we're somebody, right? We're somebody. I'm not a nobody. I'm not this larger part of this larger group. You know, I want to be an individual and I want to be somebody. And that's okay. And we're actually going to see here in a few minutes that God actually gives us that opportunity to do that. But I think first off, when we get into this community, we have to understand that it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about Pastor Rich. It's about all of us. It's about you. It's about what you're doing and how you're handling your walk with Jesus Christ. And that's way more important than anything else. And it's more important to the body that you're a part of and that we want you to be a part of. So when it comes to that identity in Jesus Christ, a few different places that I want to look in Scripture is going to be actually looking at three of Paul's epistles and how he shows this in his epistles. Now, one of the things that I have learned, and it wasn't because I went through the school discipleship or school ministry or anything like that. I think if you just sit in the pew and listen, that you probably had a pastor say this to you. But whenever we read the Word of God, we know it's important because it is His Word. So that's understood. We know that. But when something is repeated a second time, we know that that's important, that there's a reason why that has been said a second time, and there's maybe something that the author's trying to get across to us. But if it is mentioned a third time, that means that we really need to pay attention to what's going on, and that author is really trying to get some type of point across to us and say, you need to understand what I'm saying here. Because there is no, in the Scripture, nothing is repeated just because it was repeated. In the Scripture, you're guaranteed that if something is repeated in it, that it's important. It wasn't that the scribe was, you know, falling asleep and he wrote the word, you know, three different times or something like that. That's not how it works in Scripture. In Scripture, because the Holy Spirit is the one who is guiding those individuals when they're writing. So when you see it three different times, it's important. Nine times out of ten, when you see that repetition, though, it's usually within like a few paragraphs of each other. Maybe it's in that same chapter or something like that, or maybe it's even within the same book, you know, that we see that repetition. But what we're going to look at here is that we're going to see a repetition that Paul does, and he does it across three of his epistles. So the first one I want to look at, and we're going to go pretty quick with these, so if you want to look them up, by all means, you can. Romans 10, 12 through 13. He says in there, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The next one I want to look at, Galatians 3, 26 through 28. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus." And then lastly, in Colossians, again, another epistle of Paul's, 3:11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So what we see across the span of these three epistles is Paul is trying to bring out, and he's trying to say something to these different folks that he's talking to. And you've got to understand how important this is, because though the words are kind of jumbled around a little bit and maybe one comes before the other or something like that, you still notice that Paul mentions Jew. And he's trying to say that there's no difference between a Jew or a Greek. Or maybe something that we're more familiar with is a Jew and a Gentile. That there is no difference between the two of them. And you have to understand how important this is, and how, because Paul's saying it, because Paul was a Jew among Jews. You know, we see it in the Scripture where, you know, he's talking about it, and he's talking about, you know, I was of this tribe, and, you know, I did this and I did that and I did all these different things according to the law, and I was I was great. I was a Pharisee, you know, but yet somebody in that position, that Paul is telling us that it doesn't matter, that Jew and Gentiles are the same. And when you read that from Paul, that's a huge thing. That there is no difference between the two of it. So that means the same thing for us when we walk through the door, right? Or when we're walking around town, or when we're driving down the road. It doesn't matter your color. It doesn't matter if you're black or white or purple or green or whatever color you are, or hair, or how you like to wear your hair. It doesn't matter what tats you have. It doesn't matter the piercings that you have. It doesn't matter whether you're from the South. Doesn't matter where you're from the North. Doesn't matter if you're from the Bible Belt. Doesn't even matter if you're from California. Right? I know. No, I heard a few of you say that. But it doesn't matter. There is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is only the people of God. And that's what he's looking for. And that's what makes our community so strong. It's that type of thing that makes our community so special. So we have to understand that we have to check that type of stuff at the door. And I'll tell you that, you know, from where I'm from in North Carolina, you know, and probably even still to this day, and probably a little bit south of my line in South Carolina, you know, there's still that prejudice that's out there. You know, and I can still remember as a boy seeing that at my home in North Carolina. But I know now, and I was never a part of that. And honestly, I thought they were about the biggest stupid people in the world. But the thing is, though, is my mind had never gone to that place, even as a child, and being brought up in that type of place or whatever. My mom and dad wasn't like that. And when they brought me up, there was no difference between me and my black friend that I went to school with. I loved him as much as he loved me, and vice versa. You know, it was more about being their friend than it was to be, you know, maybe correct, you know, in the place that I was at. So that's what we want to look at, too. And we want to make sure that we check that stuff at the door when we come in. But, this is going to sound kind of strange, this next thing that I go into, because all that I've been talking about so far here is about oneness in Christ and how we're all one. But the great thing about the great economy, I guess you can say, about being a part of Jesus Christ is that we're all one, but at the same time, we're all different, right? I'm sure everybody, he has been mentioned before. I know he has come here and taught before. Pastor Dan Hooker at the main campus. He's the one that's in charge of the School of Discipleship and the School of Ministry. And many times when we would be going through his class, and you can ask Pastor Dan downstairs this as well, as long as anybody else who's been through the School of Discipleship, when we would be going through some of the classes, Dan would talk about, and he'd say, you know what, I've got a name for a new book that I'm going to write. And he would do that like two or three times during the time that we were going through his class and stuff like that. So one of the books, when we were in one of his classes, we were along the lines of these differences, you know, within the church, these different gifts that we have within the church. And he said he had came up with this title of a book that he was going to write called A Church Full of Eyeballs. Okay? Now, the reason why he named it that was because we can't have a church that is full of a bunch of eyeballs, right? That when it comes to the body of Christ, that we all fulfill different roles within that church. So we can't all be an eyeball. Because if we're all an eyeball, that means that something's going to go not done. So while we have people that are eyeballs, we have other people that are hands, that are the fingers, that are the arms, that are the legs, that are the feet. You know, as much as it grows out of my orifice on my head, I think I'm hair. Because it seems to grow all over the place, and I can't keep these bushy eyebrows down for nothing. So I think I may be, you know, body hair or something. I don't get it. But, you know, that it's a huge thing. We all can't be the same person. We can't do the same thing within the church. That we're gifted differently as the Holy Spirit wills. And any of the guys that have been through the class that we just got finished doing with Chuck Smith and the Living Water, that, you know, you guys will understand that. But it's important that you other guys understand it as well, that the gift that we get is from the Holy Spirit as He wills. So you may have a gift that you don't like, and that's okay, you know. But the thing is, though, is if that's a prodding from the Holy Spirit with whatever that gift is, you can bet that if you nurture that gift, if you nurture that relationship with the Holy Spirit, you can bet that that gift that you have been given will grow and get bigger. And the thing is, too, is that we need you. We need those arms and legs and those fingers and toes and head, shoulders, knees, and toes, right? We need all that, right? We can't all be one. We have to have people that are doing these different things, you know? I saw Al just a little while ago walking up the salt outside, make sure nobody would slip down. We need somebody to do that, right? We need security. We need ushers. We just need you people in the church to do these different things to move it forward, right? Christ can do it of and on itself if he wanted to, but he chooses to work through us. And that is a great honor, an absolutely huge and great honor to allow him and let him do that through us. But again, we all are different. We have our own ways of doing things, our own gifts that have been given to us. And one of the scriptures that I'm going to look at is Ephesians 4:16 that kind of brings this into better focus. In Ephesians 4:16, it says, "From the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies." So you still see this oneness, right? You see this joined and knit together in Jesus Christ. "And by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share." And then because of everybody doing its share, what happens? It causes growth of the body for edifying of itself in love. So different, but yet one. And it's a crazy thing to say that, but we can see that that's done within the economy of what God has set up for us. So the long and the short of it is that Jesus wants you to be a part of his community. I hope everybody understands that. I know there are those in here today who want to have nothing to do with God, but God wants to have everything to do with you. He wants you to be a part of his community. And it's really simple. There's one of two ways that we can do this. Okay? The first and greatest way of doing it is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, I say that's easy, but whenever it comes to actually accepting him as your Lord and Savior, sometimes that can get kind of tough and it can get hard because you don't think you're worthy. You know, I've done this, I've done that. I'm not worthy to be called this child of God. I shouldn't be allowed to do that. Well, you know what? It's not your gift. It's God's gift, and he's giving it to you, so why don't you take what is yours? It's a gift that he's given to you. Why would you? Nobody. Who takes a gift? Who wants to give a gift back? You know? I mean, we may open it up and want to take it back to the store, but we're always great to get a gift, right? It's always good to have a gift, and Jesus Christ wants to give you the greatest gift that there has ever been. He wants to give you eternal life with him. What greater gift can you have other than that? So that's one way that we can become a part of the Christian community, is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But many of us are already or have already accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Okay? So what do we do then? You know? Okay, I can accept Jesus Christ and become part of the community, but then what happens when I become part of the community? Well, one of the things that I was looking at today when I was preparing this is that we have to keep it really simple, okay? So I'm going to make this like super stinking simple. I mean, this is going to be really simple. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to get out your cell phone. If you have a cell phone, and I want you to hold your cell phone up, okay? Everybody who's got a cell phone, take it out, and I want you to hand it up, put it up, okay? All right, so we have a bunch of cell phones in here, right? And I'm sure probably some of you have one, but you just don't have it with you right now, so you can put your phones down. Here's something that I want you to do that's simple, that will further the cause of the Christian community. I just want you to text somebody this week. And I'm even going to make it even more simple for you. I want you to text somebody that is within our congregation here. Okay? Not 20 texts, not 10 texts, not 5 texts. If you want to do that, that's fine. And that'll be funny to talk about next weekend. But just one text this week to somebody and tell them, "I love you. I missed you. Where were you at this week? I really miss that you weren't at church. You know, is there anything that you're going through? Is there anything that I can help you with? You know, even if it is as simple as just, I miss you today. Where were you guys at? So that's something simple that we can do within the body of Christ that furthers that community. So that's the simple thing I want you to do this week. I think everybody can do that. Just one text. It doesn't even have to be today. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. You can even wait until Saturday. All right? You have up until Saturday. Send that one text to somebody in your book and just tell them how much you love them or how much you missed them or whatever's going on. The second thing that you can do, I won't hold you to this one, okay? But the other thing that you can do that only takes, even that text is probably going to take you at the most, what, 30 seconds to a minute to do? You have that somewhere in your day, okay? I know I do. So we have that in our day. So the other thing that I'm not necessarily going to hold you to is something else that only take you 30 minutes to a minute, or not 30 minutes, I'm sorry, 30 seconds, that's me preaching. It only take you 30 seconds to a minute to do is, if you can this week, ask somebody to come to church. How long does it take you just to go up to them and say, hey, you want to come to church with me this week? They're going to say yes or no, and if they say no, that's fine. But just to go out and to try to pull these people who are lost, these people who live in darkness, these people who need more than just themselves and the people and the things and the drugs and the alcohol and the things that are around them, just ask them to come to church. And here's the great thing about it, okay? You don't have to preach to them, right? You don't have to. I'm not asking you to ask them to come to church and then preach to them. I'm just asking you to tell them to come to church, and then Pastor Rich or myself will take care of the preaching part, right? Then you don't get in trouble. Then you can say, well, man, that guy wasn't worth the crap. And you can go, well, that's right. I don't like him either. You know? You can get away from that, right? But the thing is, you know, in all seriousness is we need as many people to become the community of Christ as we can. That doesn't mean Ellicott campus. That doesn't mean the main campus in town. That means as a whole, as a community, as a city, as a county, as a state, we need as many people as we can to become this community of Christ so that it can get furthered. And what a greater place to be in a place where we have so much diversity in the midst of it. That's exciting. That's awesome. There's all kinds of things that we can learn from each other in the midst of that community. But the other thing that I would say is that we're not like and we're not just some other community. You guys understand that, right? That, you know, we have all these different communities out there. My dad is an avid cyclist, as in like the bikes you work that you get on in like the Tour de France and stuff like that. So he drives that. So I'm sure around here, because I see him riding all over the place, I'm sure there's a community of cyclists. You know, we have all kinds of sports teams, right? So I'm sure there's a community of Broncos. And I noticed my dear friend Jennifer's not here today because Dallas lost yesterday. But I'm sure there is a community of people for Dallas, and one of them's downstairs with the kids right now. That's my wife. But we have all these different communities and stuff like that. But when it really boils down to it, they're not important. But when it comes to the community of Jesus Christ, when it comes to the Christian community, I think important is not even the right word for it. I think it's bigger than important. I think we're way greater than that. It's the Christian community is an imperative. It's something that it has to be. It's got to be. It's not something that we can just do away with. It isn't a type of club that we can just join and then decide, eh, I don't like that club very much. I'm going to go over here and do something else. That's not how it works. And when it comes to this greater Christian community, we have a greater responsibility and we have a greater thing that we're to be doing in the midst of what Jesus Christ would have us do. Now, when I say that we're bigger, that we're a greater community, I'm not trying to say that it's a competition. Okay, please don't take that as that. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that we should compete with, you know, the community that is the Baptist church that's down the road, or the Methodist church that's on the other side of the road, or if there's a Pentecostal church down the road. It's not a competition. And that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying that what I feel like the Christian community is charged with is a much greater thing than all these other little smaller communities that we're talking about. And if we have another Christian community that we can come up alongside with, all the better. Because it's not about who we are here at Ellicott or at the main campus or whatever. It's all about Jesus Christ, right? We've just talked about it. It's all about being one. So it doesn't matter our denomination. It's all about Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and what we can do for those other people and those other folks in those communities. But we're special. And as much is said whenever we look at 1 Peter. So if you have time, real quickly, if we look at 1 Peter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 10. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10, and this is what it says. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. If you notice what Peter has to say there at the very beginning, he calls us four different things there, and they're great and awesome things. We're a chosen generation in Jesus Christ. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're a special people, as the Holy Spirit would speak to us through Peter. So how awesome, how great is that, that we are that group of people, that we are that community that Jesus Christ has called us to be. We can be nothing greater, because we can't be any greater than the God who is the one who's supporting us, who has love and mercy for us. But again, it's not a pride thing. It's not that we're trying to put ourselves up against anybody else. We're just trying to do that which the Holy Spirit, that which Jesus would have us do. So again, my thoughts as I was writing this is better read than me trying to paraphrase. It's not about what we can do as a unified Christian community. It's about what we do. It's about our action. It's not about what we can do. It's about what we are doing. We can do many things, but are we doing anything? We can sit there, we can plan, and we can think, and we can go, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But if you never get up and do it, nothing's going to happen. So where are you at today? I talk about being through the school of ministry and through the school of discipleship and stuff like that. But you understand that you come to the school of discipleship every day that you come in here. Okay? Pastor Rich is your instructor. Every day you come in here, you come to the school of discipleship. Now, we don't call it that, and you don't sign up for it. You get just to come to it all the time. Every week you get to come to the school of discipleship. But the thing is, though, is after you've been coming to the school of discipleship, and that's how it works at Rocky Mount Calvary, in case you're interested. So you have the school of discipleship, and what the school of discipleship is there to do is it's there to teach you. It's there to help you to understand these different subjects and everything from apologetics to cults to, you know, just all these different subjects, you know, New and Old Testament survey, going through there and understanding what all is being talked about, and to help you to better understand what's going on in those testaments and stuff like that. But you're in the school of discipleship, and then if you have the opportunity, Pastor Dan may invite you to come to school of ministry. Now it's time to put what you've learned into action. Okay, you've been taught 2 years. We've gone deep with you. We've taught you these different things. Now it's time for you to do. Not what you can do, it's do. Get up and get on with it. You know, you're a chosen child of Jesus Christ if you accept him as your Lord and Savior. And the thing is when I say that, I'm not saying that you need to get up and preach in front of somebody. Okay? It's as simple as taking your phone and texting somebody, I love you. It's that simple. And it should be, and my hope is that it's that prodding of the Holy Spirit that would make you do that. Just something simple during the week. How many times, because I'm guilty of this, how many times during the week have you sat there and somebody's popped into your head? But you didn't text them. Right? You're sitting there and that person this isn't somebody necessarily close to you. This is somebody that maybe you haven't thought about in a long time or whatever, and they pop into your head and you're like, no, okay, well, that was great. And then it just, you know, and it goes right out the other ear. It takes us no time at all as a Christian community, as fellow people that are in that Christian community, to reach out to other folks. And that's the easy way of doing it. We're not talking about volunteering here. We're not talking about you coming and helping out at SALT or something, you know, at Ellicott campus. We're not asking you to clean the church. I mean, we're not talking to you about to physically come in and do a chore. We just want you to reach out to the body who is in Jesus Christ, that you are one with, that you are joined with, that you've been grafted into that vine with. That's all we ask that you do, and it's so simple. It is so very simple. And something that even is more profound is, if you don't want to do the text thing, is that you call them or you take the time to sit down with them and talk to them face to face. I can only imagine, you know, the joy that comes from that, you know. Now, I think there's joy in all of it. From the text to the phone call to sitting down with somebody, I think there's joy encompassed in all of that. But I think there's a greater joy depending on what you do, because you will get joy. You can't tell me that you don't get a text from somebody that you like, and when you read that text, you don't smile. Don't you? I know I do. You know? If I get a text from somebody that I haven't seen in a while, it may even be Lauren from the main campus sending me something, letting me know this is what I need to do this week or what I'm doing with the class that we're doing on Thursday. You know? I just see that, I think of Lauren, and I smile. You know, she didn't call me. You know, she didn't do anything. But just to know her and that I have known her through the school of discipleship and through the school of ministry, it's just that thought that makes me smile. So how much more if you sit down with somebody? Because it's not just important that we do what we do within the body, you know, or outside of the body, it's important what we do with inside of it. We have kind of two mandates when it comes to the Christian community. It's what we're doing inside of it for each other to build each other up, but at the same time, it's what we're doing outside of the community or outside of our Christian community. So what I want to leave you with is an example. So we talk about this Christian community and, you know, is it really important? Is it just for me? Is it for other folks? Or, you know, how does this all play out? How does it all work? Well, a perfect example would be what happened here just a couple of weeks ago. It's been a couple of weeks, I think, at the school, right? I think it's been a couple of weeks now. So what happened was that I'm sure everybody saw in the news that there was an individual, there was a teacher over at Ellicott School while they were doing parent-teacher conferences that got picked up by the law and was taken off. His name's not important, but we know that he got taken off at that time. Well, the other thing that you probably didn't know at that time was that our folks from Ellicott campus was at that campus on the day that that happened, okay? And as part of that, Pastor Rich was there as well, okay? Now, you're thinking, well, that's just a coincidence, you know? You know, that's just a mistake or something like that. It ain't no big deal. You don't understand. That wasn't a mistake, and it wasn't even a coincidence. Our people were there because of that moment. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't like, our people broke out in counseling sessions or anything like that after it happened or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. Nothing like that happened. But the thing is that the people of God were present in the midst of that situation. And one of the greater of our number was there, and Pastor Rich, because he actually got to speak to the superintendent. Well, not speak to, he texted. But he was able in that moment to text some encouragement. Again, just a text, right? He didn't talk to him. He just shot him a text of encouragement saying, you know what? Just heard this. I'm praying for you. A sentence. And you can imagine the encouragement that that individual probably got knowing that there's somebody else thinking about him and praying for him. So the long and the short of it is, if you're not a member of the Christian community, please elect to do so. We would love to welcome you in. We'd love to usher you in as a brother and sister, as a child in Christ. Now, if you don't, you know, we don't take you out back and whip you or nothing like that, okay? You understand that we still love you. We still love you, even if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We still love you. You know, we're married to our spouses. I would imagine everybody has experienced this, whether you have a spouse or best friend or something like that. We may love our spouse, but we don't necessarily like them all the time, right? And if you don't believe that, you can go down and you can talk to Miss Noni downstairs because she can attest to that, and we can both attest to that. So the thing is, though, is we may not like it that you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but we still love you. And we would love to usher you in. We would love you. We would love to bring you to a place where you're inside of His love, and that we can be in a place in eternity that we can spend the rest of our lives with you worshiping our Lord and Savior. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then what I want you the biggest thing for you guys is I just want you to show up. That's all I want you to do. That's all the Lord wants you to do. I just want you to show up. That's it. Because we have a great Lord and Savior, and He's commanded us to do something on this earthly plane. And you know what? You don't even have to do it yourself. Because I'm evidence of that. Because as many times I've been up in front of you guys and talking, you know, I could have passed out in the back before I got up here today. But it's not me that comes up here, it's the Holy Spirit. And He's the one that speaks through me, and He's the one that speaks to you, and He's the one that speaks to your heart, and He's the one that wants to work great things through you. So all you have to do is show up and let the Holy Spirit do His work through you. That's all you got to do. Isn't that a great and awesome thing? You just have to show up. And then let Him do the work through you. Now, don't cure yourselves or anything like that. You definitely need to be careful. And I think from what I've heard about Pastor Rich, he's a prime example that you can do too much sometimes. So you need to make sure that you take the time. And granted, you know, we know that this is Pastor Rich's job, but still, we have to be careful about overloading ourselves and doing too much. But the thing is, though, is we got to first show up before we can even get to that stage. Okay? So that's the big thing this week. Show up to your Christian community. Take, again, okay, and I want you to do this, and I'll ask this during announcements next week, who did it and who didn't do it. One text this week to somebody in your Christian community, okay? So we won't even say necessarily just in the church, your Christian community, just one text to them this week. And those of you who haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you would do so this week, that you would come to the realization of who Jesus Christ is in your life, okay? If you bow with me, please. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we thank You for this day, Lord, and Your many blessings. Holy Spirit, So much of what You have done for me this week, just these 2 days, Lord, showing up for me and helping me through this past week. We've been having hard times, me and You, but it's a great and awesome thing. because I know that, as I had said just earlier, Lord, I don't have to get up here and do it by myself, that you're by my side, that you'll work through me, that you'll do all the work, that you'll do all the heavy lifting. All I have to do is give you my pain and my baggage and set it at your feet, and that you'll make me light, and that you'll glorify me, though I don't deserve it, Lord. So I thank you for this day. I thank you for these brothers and sisters that are here today, that are here to listen to your word and listen to the Holy Spirit ramble on a little bit, Lord. I love you. I love them. And I would ask, Lord, that you just glorify them and the things that they do for you, that you would bless them, that you would be with them this week, that Holy Spirit, that you would fill them up in the midst of any pain that they may be going through, Lord, that they would just feel your presence and know your presence in the midst of what they're going through, Lord, and that they would be built up and they would know the great power that there is in knowing you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, just take care of them. Bring them back here next week, Lord, and just put on their heart to text that one person this week to show them your love that comes through them. It's in Jesus Christ's holy name that we pray.